All right, good evening. Yeah, right afterwards, if we can set up the tables, and then, guys, if you can stick around and help move clothes, all it'll get done quickly, and then they just have to do kind of some of the arranging in the morning, right, Michelle? Party. Then it, basically you just have to do arranging in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Right, she'll tell you where to put them, so... Why don't you open your Bibles to the Psalms, Psalm 25. We're going to pick up there. Women's retreat, I guess it's going to be out at the Geneva Camp Retreat Center, so a couple of the ladies, Miss Betty and Beth and Lori went, and Beth said, this place is awesome. It's going to be a nice time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this evening. Lord, speak to our hearts and meet us right where we're at tonight and encourage, challenge us, Lord, to not only examine ourselves, but Lord, to open our hearts to be examined, to know that we are pleasing you, Lord, in our lives, and especially in this world, in these days, Lord. And so we just pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. Speak to our heart, Lord. That little simple little book, My Heart, Christ's Home, the challenge to clean up some things in my own life, Lord. And Lord, we need help. Give us strength. I pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Psychologist Scott Peck said this, once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand it and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. In the first 24 Psalms, we went through the first section of the Psalms. Now we're going to be in the second section, Prayers of David. So much of his life, and we think of the life of David and the things that are said about David, but when you read about David's life, there was much trouble. There were, you know, he had a lot of enemies. There was a lot of time spent on the run, hiding from Saul. A lot of time spent repenting of his own shortcomings. The things, you know, and his failures and his mistakes. You think of the family that he had. You think that being the king and living in the palace, that his children would all have been angels, and you know. But he, one of the great mistakes that he made was he had more than one wife, and so he had children that were all stepbrothers and sisters. And they did some pretty wicked things to one another. So that there was turmoil and trouble in his home. There was turmoil and trouble in his leadership as he became king. His son had, rose up against him. He had generals that were his mighty men of valor that certainly were a blessing to him. But then you had Joab who killed Abner. Did things that they were not commanded to do by the king. So David had there was a lot of trouble in his life. Early on, you know, he was called and anointed by God. He was a shepherd boy out in the field. We're told he was ruddy. The description of who David was is much a description of the personality he would have as a young man. As it was, ruddy meaning that he was red-headed. And we know that often the personality of red-headed people is very fiery. And David was that. And so there was trouble that he brought upon himself. There was trouble that was brought upon him because of his anointing, his being a man after God's own heart, because of his position and his calling. And so we see, this speaks to me as far as we look at these Psalm 25 through 39. These are psalms that if you're in a time of trouble or trial or testing, these are good psalms to go to and read, because David really opens up his heart, not only seeking and requesting, but acknowledging God's goodness and his, you know, and that God is his strength and his refuge, his provider, that he's been merciful and kind to David in his ups and in his downs, in his failures and in his victories. And the same thing is true for us. But the reality is, we all know this, that there's a lot of trouble in life. But for us, God is with us in the troubles, right? He's with us in the storms of life and in the trials and in the testings and those things that are going on. And we often, you know, it has been said that if the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. And I think often, well, you know, we tend to deal with trouble in two ways. Sometimes we deal with it in the right way, where we turn to the Lord and we seek the Lord to guide us and lead us and protect us in those times. But there are other times that we try and deal with the trouble or the trials or the, you know, in the storm in our own strength, in our own intellect, and with our own understanding. And this is, I think, a good encouragement for us that to become accustomed to turning to the Lord in all these times. And the big thing is David will always recognize that God has seen him through all of the things, even his own shortcomings, his failure, in having an adulterous affair with Bathsheba and killing her husband to hide, you know, the affair and what had happened. So just kind of mark that down, that this next section in the Psalms is a good go-to in times of trouble. So Psalm 25, a psalm or a prayer of David. This is interesting. It's an acrostic psalm. Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm. Each section, in this one, in each verse, starts with a letter of the Hebrew language. Psalm 119, each of the sections in that starts with one of the Hebrew letters. So it's an acrostic. And we've talked about this. Their poetry, and we're going to see some, their poetry was based on an idea and then expounding upon that idea, or giving a contrast to what is being said. And where ours is, our poetry, always we try and rhyme and make it sound good and sound sweet and stuff like that. So, but it says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." A lot of these psalms written certainly when David probably was young and running from Saul. Also, obviously a time of great trouble in his life was when his son Absalom rose up against him. And some of his advisors and chief administrators were conspiring against him and took Absalom's side. And so, you know, but that idea, what the perfect place in the time of trouble is where to be, where in a place where you're trusting in the Lord. "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause." And if there's, you read the Bible, if there's anybody that you would think that relied on their own abilities, on their own strength, it would be David. David had a lot of great victories. Saul slayed his thousands, David his 10,000s. He was a master in battle. He had a pretty you know, crazy group of guys, his mighty men of valor, that nothing would stand in the way for them to do for David and, you know, the king and stuff like that. And so here's a guy, and I look back on my own life, and I was blessed, and this is to brag, because God called me into a calling that I was completely unprepared for. I was completely, you know, everything in my early life, and especially when it came to athletics and different things, I was able to excel at them. There's something that God had given me, you know, that I was able, I mean, I played all the sports and was able to do that. God called me in to the ministry, and I found myself in the middle of the sea in a boat sinking, you know. And you would see, you know, a lot. I remember when I first became pastor, people would go, "Man, I'm glad God called you to do it. You've got broad shoulders. You're able to handle all these things." You know, and I'd listen to these things and want to tell them, "You don't understand that I'm hiding in my office every day, and I'm walking around the sanctuary, and I'm walking around the church often singing, you know, the Psalms, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I, because I didn't know what else to do but to turn to the Psalms and cry out to the Lord. Because everything else I could pour into, and I would figure it out, and I was able to excel in it. This is one that just, you know, I was completely unequipped for. And everybody thought I was equipped because who I was and how I carried myself or whatever it might be, but they didn't realize just how alone and lost, you know, I was when God called me into the ministry. And, you know, so you look at David. David could have become very self-sufficient with all of his victories, as strong as he was, as great a military leader as he was, as wise as he was in leading the children of Israel, as zealous as his heart was for the Lord. I mean, everything was about getting the Ark of the Covenant back into the tabernacle in, you know, in the city of David, and having the presence of God. And so, and to see that, and as an example, the times that he did try, you know, and do things on his own, it came back to bite him. The same thing happens, you know, for us and for me. There's only one place. And not just for me as a pastor, but for all of us as Christians and as followers of Jesus Christ, there's only one safe to be, and that is completely trusting God, because he's faithful. He's the only one that's trustworthy in every aspect of our lives. And we will tend to put our trust in different things, right? And they always fail us, whether it's a bank account, whether it's a job, whether it's another person. We need to understand that there's only one trustworthy. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. You know, a lot of people come up to me, "I don't know how to pray. You know, is there a good book? Is there a way?" If you want to learn how to pray, turn to the Psalms, Psalms 15 through 39. David understood how to pray, not just in bringing our requests or imprecatory prayers and all these, you know, different types of prayers, and always look, you know, crying out and stuff like that, but in also recognizing God's mercy and God's love and how awesome God is in his grace. Meditating in awe of who he is, David, and he has to. He'll go from, "God, you've been so good, and I've trusted you, and teach me and lead me. You know, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And now deal with the enemy. Don't let him get away with it." You know, and there's just a mixture and a great balance in how David praises and prays. In what he has written down. And I think we can learn from that. So if you don't know how to pray or you're wondering how to pray, read the Psalms. And especially these. Because we all have trouble in our life. There's trouble coming. There's trouble on the horizon. We're all, you know, there's turmoil. There's always going to be that trouble. And once we understand that and we're okay with it and then recognize that God is with us to see us through our trouble all the time. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And that He has given us wisdom. He's given us His word to deal with it. He's given us others to see us through. You look at mighty men and mighty women of the Word of God here. What a blessing we have in this fellowship. Look around. I mean, the people that love the Lord and just want to draw closer to Him and grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. We have, you know, we have all that available to us here. And so you're my God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. David, always understanding how much he needed the mercy of God. He's going to say, don't remember the sins of my youth. Lord, don't look back on my sins. Don't hold my sins against me. Understanding that, you know, and we can walk in legalism and try and keep the law. David understood that these were transgressions against the law, and the only thing that helped that allows us to stand is the mercy of God when it comes to the law and God's righteous requirements, right? And then it's the grace of God that was poured out upon us by His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us on the cross. But the mercies of God and loving kindness. You know, there's not a lot of difference between in the Hebrew for kindness or goodness and loving kindness. It's kind of an interesting thing, this loving kindness, this compound idea of the loving kindness of God. There's a story of two theologians who were talking about, and they were talking about the Hebrew for kindness and loving kindness and trying to get a grasp of the difference between the goodness of God and His loving kindness. And this little girl was listening to these two theologians, and the little girl said, well, you know, if you ask your mom for some bread with butter and she gives you bread with butter, that's kindness. But if you ask your mom for bread and butter and she adds and puts jam on it, that's loving kindness. And this love, it just, the overwhelming goodness and love of God, loving kindness. And it's an all-encompassing idea that God lavishes more than what we're, you know, than what we can ever hope for or expect. That's who God is. In the understanding, and I didn't get to it this past on Sunday and stuff, but we talked about it, that walking and living with the Holy Spirit of God and in the Holy Spirit of God, it's the only way that we can do this, that we're going to make it through this life and with our walk with Jesus Christ. But in having the Holy Spirit, and what did Jesus say? How much, you know, you being good fathers and giving good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? Do we do that? You know, that time, that turning to Him and seeking Him for the more, the over, you know, the not just kindness and seeking His goodness and mercy, but His loving kindness. I want it all, and I need it all, right? Do we always recognize that? And He's more than happy. And David recognized, wait till, you know, as we're reading through these things, David just, you have been so good, you're trustworthy, you've led me, you've protected me, your mercies are new every morning, your loving kindness, you know, that you pour out on those who fear you and love you. That's what this walk is all about, and acknowledging who God is in our lives. Remember, Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. And here he's reflecting on the character and nature of God. Your mercy, your loving kindness. Don't remember the... And what does it say? That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that he forgives us our sins and forgets them from, you know, as far as the east is from the west is the distance of, you know, where his thoughts are. His thoughts aren't on our sins when he has forgiven them. And it's not that he forgets them, but the scriptures tell us that he chooses to remember them no more. It's an active choice on God's behalf to not remember him. And David, probably looking back on his old life and all the stupid things that he did. Anybody? I do it every once in a while. Gosh, how did I get away with that? I can't believe that the Lord's hand was on me through this, right? We remember him. And I think part of this is David, you know, don't remember him so I don't have to remember him. You know, we learn from our past mistakes. But I don't think it's healthy to dwell on those things. Because we can talk ourselves into thinking that we're so bad that God couldn't possibly forgive us, right? And people have said that. Well, you know, God can't forgive me. You can't believe the things that I did. Well, you know what? If he could forgive David, who slept with somebody else's wife, killed him, got her pregnant, killed him, and tried to hide it from everybody, and David is with God in eternity, he can save us. There's nothing you have done that he will not forgive you of and remember no more and cleanse you and you know, have mercy on you and just lavish his grace and loving kindness on you. God is so good. We have to remember that. God is a God, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. That was the message of Jesus Christ. Turn from your sins, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, John the Baptist before, the forerunner, making the way. Repent. Be cleansed. Be baptized. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. And we all know we're very humble, right? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. In Jesus' name, Lord, pardon my iniquity. And that's the important, right? When we repent, when we turn our heart to God, when we surrender, it's in Jesus' name. That's his namesake. When you think of our namesake, right? That's very important for men that have boys to have children and continue on the namesake. But the namesake, the very character of God, it was seen in Jesus Christ. He was the express image of God, came in the flesh. Amazing. And it's in him that we have forgiveness of sins. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Possibly as he's running or hiding from Absalom, the people and those that were with Absalom were setting traps for him. They were trying to find him and kill him. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. You know, I almost sent here David wondering if there was something that he did. Is there something that I did to bring this upon me? You know, we can trick ourselves into thinking that sometimes, right? In 2 Samuel chapter 16, it says this. Also, Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head. Shimei was lucky, very fortunate I wasn't the king. I said, go for it. But the king said, what have I to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite, let him alone. Let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And Dave understood not to lift a hand, that there was a reason why it had come upon him. But he's saying, forgive me for all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many. They hate me with cruel, violent hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. You know, this idea in David understanding he was waiting upon the Lord to get him out of these situations, and sometimes we act too soon and we make things worse. I do, often, too often. Yet I've learned along the way in ministry to wait upon the Lord. And I've been accused of not acting. And here's the thing. Early on, I used to act too soon. And Pastor Kevin called me a bill in a china shop. And you could always tell when Bill was acting on his own and not waiting on the Lord. And you know, along the way, I had people start complaining that I wasn't, you know, I got so mad when you didn't do that. I know you got so mad when you didn't do that. And they said, then I realized you were just waiting for the Lord to direct and the Lord to do it. And I said, yeah, I learned early on that it doesn't work out too well when I did it, you know. And I think David is saying that, you know, Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, right? And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will protect your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Be anxious for nothing. Wait upon him. Sometimes it's better to wait. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Psalm 26 is a prayer of David when he was right with the Lord. It seemed like, you know, in some of these things, there are times when we're right with the Lord, yet trouble still comes in and we're wondering, hey, what gives? You know, I thought we were okay. You ever been in that situation? You're talking to some people, oh man, things were going great, and then all of a sudden this happened. I don't understand why. A psalm or a prayer of David, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. And I don't believe David is puffed up here. I believe that he is considering his integrity, his trust in the Lord, one that trusted upon God, who had a heart, you know, after God. David constantly would praise and prayer, or offer up praise and prayer because of the presence of the Lord. His heart was, and we're going to see, you know, to be in the presence of God, to have God there in the city with his people and blessing the people of God. And so, but Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I think I'll start at 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made the foolish wisdom of this world? The wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message priest to save those who believe. He said, I have trusted the Lord. I will not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. And then he goes, again, for your loving kindness before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. And so David's saying, in my integrity, it is wholly relying and trusting on the Lord. So I don't believe, but you know, David, I believe, was a very humble man, and we see that, you know, that God deals with the humble, is what he had said, or works with the humble. The Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Paul, you know, a Pharisee of Pharisees, concerning the law, he would say, I was perfect. He was the up-and-comer. He was the one, the expectations were on Paul, and he looks back on that, and he said, God uses the fool. I'm just a foolish, you know, this is foolishness, and what I'm preaching is foolishness to man, and it's not because I'm wise or anything else, it's because of the wisdom of God. And David, I believe, is saying, my integrity, understanding that his integrity flowed from his faith, his belief in God, and his trust in God, and the mercies of God, and that God anointed him, that God lifted him up and held him up, just like God does with us. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We had an assistant coach in college, and he was a goofy little guy. He used to run around the basketball court before games with a can of canned asparagus, and he smelled like asparagus, and he wasn't even a basketball player as far as I could tell. But he used to say, I'm just a clod for God, and that stuck. You know, just a clod for God. And I think we all need to be real. You know, he didn't choose me. You all think that he chose me because I'm, you know, that I'm anything special and smart and 6'8" and can handle all of the weight because I have broad shoulders. I've heard it all. This is why God chose me. The base things and the foolish things God has chosen. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. David understanding that he's our righteousness. Our integrity is found in Christ. Who we are, our identity, our character is to be found in Christ. It's to, you know, it's to emanate Jesus Christ from our lives. And if you're all waiting for God to choose you because you have something to offer, he may not be using you yet, because you don't realize that, until you realize he doesn't need, you know, he doesn't need any of us. He just needs somebody to say, I'm available, use me, Lord. And that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And David gloried in the Lord. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I call them the malcontents. Who do you hang around with? Now, it's okay, you know, and we have family members and stuff like that, or I'm not talking about at work, but when you're going out, who are you hanging around with? Who do you have over? I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. David loved to be at the tabernacle. Probably spent quite a bit of time there. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. Don't hand me over to the, you know, David didn't want to get handed over to those that were pursuing him, obviously. And they were schemers. I mean, they're one of the priests that served him and one of his administrators had sided with Absalom. They are treacherous. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. And so he didn't want to hang out. He didn't, you know, Lord, don't. And David constantly, be merciful to me. Don't remember the sins of my youth. You know, sin and living in sin is a slippery slope. David, you know, here is saying, I stand on the rock of my salvation. He didn't want to be around people that were living in sin because, right? And here's the thing, you know, I for about 2.5, maybe 3 years, going to Raul Reese's church, man, I hear in the Word of God, I transformed. I wasn't drinking, I wasn't doing anything, I wasn't hanging. And then after a while, I'm like, man, I'm going to go back. My friends need to be here too. They need to hear the Word of God, you know. And so I opened myself up and I started going hanging around the guys that were doing the things that I did before I was a really, you know, clear-minded and God was working on my heart and the Word of God was working on my heart. And it took about 2 weeks and I was right back in it. Sin's a slippery slope. You know, I opened myself up to be with others, and they weren't bad guys. I mean, I love these guys, but they had a different, right, focus. They were heading in a different direction. It was sin. And David said, don't I want to be around any of those people. He didn't want to be exposed to that. Because David knew his, you know, David knew who he was. And I think that when we're honest with ourselves, we know who we are too. We can be around sinners because we need to tell them about Jesus Christ. But when we start hanging, right? And then we put ourselves in a dangerous situation. If you're like me, because I know I'm weak. David knew he was weak. David had already experienced that in his life, right? You know, we need to be careful and being honest, lest we fall. So, Psalm 27, another prayer of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Everything that we have accomplished in our lives, we've accomplished because God has seen us through. He's allowed those things. You know, that old adage, I'm a self-made man. You're going to stand before God one day and he's going to ask, really, what part did you make? He's my strength. He's the light of my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. There was a zombie apocalypse when David was king. And you know where I stand on the zombie apocalypse. I watch the zombie shows. Because we're in a zombie apocalypse right now. There are people walking around us every day that although they look alive, they're dead. And they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about God's love and His grace and His mercy. David walked around the zombies too, the living dead. I take that seriously. I mean, and I it's tongue in cheek, but it's true. Don't shoot them in the head. Give them the gospel, right? Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Is that I miss the song. It's a great song. Psalm 27, one thing I have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord. David had a heart to seek God and to be with God. And I say this, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's an encouragement also to you. I love being here. And not because of the building, but we've been blessed with a place where God's people can come and where we can share God's word. I get to teach, open God's word and share it with you all. And what, you know, and I talked to other pastors, and Pastor Kirk and I were just talking about this the other day. You know, the pressure of you all being changed or transformed isn't on me. It's on the word of God. God just asked me to open it up and share it with you. And I get the joy for me is to see it getting a hold and a grip on your lives, you know, and the encouragement afterwards when I get down, I mean, that message stunk. You know, there are times I just feel like, oh, you know, that wasn't even what I wanted to say or whatever. And people coming up and going, man, that, you know, that really moved me. It's like, okay, that's the Lord, because I thought it stunk. And that's me taking on the responsibility of what God said His word is going to do for each and every one of us, that it's going to go from Him. It's not going from Bill, right? It's going to go from Him, and it's going to do the work and the job that He has determined that it will do. And it will not return to Him void. It's going to, you know, and that's what's going on here. To be in His temple, in His presence, to hear from Him. There's nothing greater. David, what a heart for the Lord. And to behold the beauty of the Lord. We're going to see, you know, to worship in the... we're not going to get there tonight, so let's, you know, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What's the beauty of the holiness of the Lord? It's His Son, Jesus Christ, who came. David understood, you know, David knew that was the promise God made to him, that the Messiah would come and would sit on His throne forever, would come from His seed. Imagine the things that God was telling David when he was in that would be his greatest desire. You know, and we come with an open heart and really hear from the Lord. I remember when I first, you know, it wasn't too long after Beth had looked at me and said, I'm not living like this anymore. And we started half-heartedly looking for a church, and my aunt called me up and said, my old boss from McDonnell Douglas works for GM. He's going to a Calvary Chapel. Here's his name. This is the whole conversation. Here's his name. Here's his phone number. Call him. Because my aunt always knew when I wasn't walking with the Lord, you know. And it's just that spiritually in tune. And so we started going. And I remember when it became non-negotiable and we were Commerce, it was in Royal Oak. And there were Wednesdays, man, I'm sitting there at 6 o'clock and service, I could just stay home and just relax. And the Spirit says, no, go, go. And I would end up going, and I would always be blessed You know, and God would always speak to me, and he was changing me and doing a work. We come with that expectation, right? And sometimes it's hard to get here, isn't it? Has God ever let you down when you've come? I may have, but I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about, has God, you know? Has the Lord ever let you down when you have come to his temple desiring to hear from him, right? Coming to his sanctuary, coming here to hear from his word so that he can speak to us and he can change us and he can encourage us and he can strengthen us. That's what he wants to do. And David said, one thing I've desired, that's what I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's the promise, right? We're going to be with him forever. But what a great opportunity. I mean, we get snippets of it when we come. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And, the sanctuary, the idea of sanctuary, man, that he might hide us here. Anybody come in troubled today? Trouble going on? Last 2 days, my allergies have been like I've never had them before. I'm like, oh no, here we go again. This is the way that the engineered cold got a hold of me the last couple times. I'm waiting, you might have to do it again. And I took a Zyzol, kills everything for me. And yesterday it didn't help very much. And then it came back today. I'm like, really, Lord? And you sit there and you go, man, I'm going to have to go up and teach the word of God, and I'm going to be sneezing, and my nose is going to be dripping in front of the people. And this is, but thank God I'm not sneezing, and you can probably hear it in my sinuses. But he's just, he's blessing me just being and being able to do this, and hopefully the same for you. And if you came and there was trouble, I know there's pains, there's aches, there's cancer, there's headaches, there's diets, and you can't eat meat, and that'd be terrible trouble. But you know what? In David, man, this is the place that he can hide, the secret place where he speaks to us. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy, joyous shouts in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. He's coming in today. Yeah. We're Christians. We should be the most joyful people on earth. You're right. We should be the most joyful people on earth. Why does it sometimes we walk in and we can seem like the most miserable people on earth? Right? There should be a change of heart, change of perspective when we come into his prayer. But David, consider, David's life was not easy. He was a king. He had all the responsibilities. He had his family was falling apart. His, enemies were after him. The enemies of God, the enemies in the surrounding territories were constantly chomping at his heels. He had himself to deal with, which we can all relate to, right? And his own weaknesses and shortcomings and everything else. And he just wanted to be in the presence of the Lord, right? To be overshadowed by God so that he could offer sacrifices of praise and joy, to sing to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. I think the Lord is pleased with the simple things. Obedient children. Lord says, seek my face. Okay, I'll seek your face. That we put our faith in action. Simple faith. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not or you have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. And thank God the promise, his promise is, I'll never leave you or forsake you. If it ever seems like God has left you or forsaken you, it's not that God has left you. It's you've turned on him. You've walked away. Sometimes we even try and run away, right? When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. And it's an old proverb. It's really not when or if. It's had my father and my mother forsaken me, then the Lord will take care of me. Understanding that God is, you know, he takes care of his children. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemy. Did we just sing that? Teach me your way, O Lord, so that I might live with my in your truth. Right? What, more and more, make me wholly devoted. Is that a song we sang tonight? It's a song we sing, make me wholly devoted to you. Sorry. Nostalgia, all these things are coming back. One thing I have desired of the Lord. We might sing that a cappella before we're done here. I love that song. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Now, this is the way the verse actually reads. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, the rest of that, or the beginning of it, I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart is added. It's kind of an open, it's kind of a meditative expression in the Hebrew. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It just, David's like, I'm just in a place where I don't know what I would do. I don't know what to do. If I hadn't seen the Lord, if the Lord hadn't spoken to me in the land of the living, if the Lord hadn't revealed himself to me and been merciful to me and loving kindness, and expressed loving kindness to me and poured his grace out upon me and protected me and seen me through all of these things, if the Lord had not done that, I don't know what I would have done. It's just added, I would have lost heart, because most of us would lose heart if God wasn't for us, or we didn't know that God was with us and seeing us through these things, right? David, the same thing. So that's kind of why it was in italics. But we understand, where would we be and what would we do if God's word had not penetrated our heart and God didn't 316 us, right? God so loved Bill. Put your own name in there. And say, for God so loved Bill that he gave his only begotten son. That if Bill would just believe in him, he would not perish but have everlasting life. God did not come into the world to condemn Bill, but that that Bill through his son might be saved. You know, think about that. If he didn't 316 us, what would we be? What would we do? Where would we be? And consider that with the hopelessness of the world. We talk about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We saw that this Sunday, right? That's the hopelessness of the world. They're losing heart and they don't even know it. They're going to lose their lives and they don't even know it. Because they have not seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. They have not turn their heart to his love and his grace and his mercy to accept it and receive it. They think we're nuts. They think somehow they're going to figure their way out. Foolishness. I don't know what I would do if God did not pursue me and change me. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. We talk about that. That's just not sitting and That's not just sitting in empty-minded ignorance and silence, waiting on the Lord. And that's what these prayers are, is waiting on the Lord. If you really think of it, what David is expressing is his waiting on the Lord. It's going to the Lord and acknowledging his goodness, waiting on the Lord, calling on the Lord, I need help, right? Don't turn your heart from me. Lord, forgive me where I've messed up. That's waiting on the Lord. And the easy way for me, and I don't know if I've ever expressed it, some of you are a little bit newer here. I think of it as a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant. A waiter in a restaurant, if they waited on us, right, to get our food, if they waited, we'd never get fed. We'd never give them our order if they waited the way that we think of waiting, right? No, waiting and the idea is going and is engaging and seeking. What do you want? What are you here for? How can I help you? Right? That's the same thing. Waiting on the Lord is engaging God in prayer, meeting with Him, giving Him our requests, sharing with Him our fears, acknowledging and praising Him for His goodness and His grace and His mercy. What an example David is. If you're wondering how to pray, this is how you pray. It's you with your Heavenly Father expressing everything. Pour it out. You know. Seek. Knock. What's the other one? Ask. I didn't know that one. I'm always asking. Right? That's what it's about. And the idea of praise and prayer, and that's what it is. It's just that exchange with the Lord, and He invites us to bring it all. And it should, and he, learn to do it in balance, right? Learn to do it in balance. I know how I am. I tend to just go to Him with requests and needs. And whys. Lord, why? You all know what I'm talking about, right? Instead of in all that saying, Lord, man, what can I, you've been good to me. Here I am coming to you again, and you've done nothing but lavish all of your love and your grace and your mercy on me. You hear that heart with David in his psalms, in his prayers, and in his praise of who God is. He'll take care. This is hard for me. He'll take care of man and mankind and what they're doing. And He'll take care of Satan and Satan's demons and the fallen angels and what they're doing. As much as I'd like Him to include me to help, but He'll see us through all those times of trouble and the things that are going on in our own lives. And we're close. We're getting close. The nations are raging. It seems that the angelic realm is ramped up. The spirit of Antichrist seems to be becoming more and more brazen. They're not hiding what the Scripture has told us is going to happen, right? So we need to be prepared, acknowledging, look, and if there, whatever trouble comes our way, right, we know that we can trust the Lord to see us through. Heavenly Father, we thank You for that You are faithful, You are fully trustworthy, You alone are. Lord, And if we have diverted our trust to any earthly thing, and Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. We're failing, but you never fail. And we just thank you for your love and your mercy, your loving kindness. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would do it abundantly more than we can understand, that we can comprehend or acknowledge. Lord, just like the little girl, we're asking for bread and butter, Lord. I pray that it would be so much more. We just thank you, Lord. And I pray that our heart's desire, as our heart's desire was to meet you here, Lord, I pray that each and every one of your sons and daughters, Lord, has been met beyond their expectations or their hopes. Lord, I pray that you would touch and that you would heal, that you would heal. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your will, would you strengthen muscles, backs, loosen kinks, hold back cancers, Lord, and if be your will, that you would heal cancers. Lord, that you would heal minds. Lord, I pray that you would turn stinking thinking to joy and rejoicing. Lord, troubles into victories that we can trust you to see us through, Lord. Whatever is needed, Lord, we pray that you would meet those needs, that we might be like David, able to acknowledge how awesome you are and how good you have been to us, Lord. Despite all the things that are going on in this world, that we have a hope and a reason, Lord, to smile, not just on the outside, but on the inside, to be the most joyful people in this time. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.